On this first day of February 2011 in San Diego, we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. We are in Chapter 18, The Perfection of Renunciation, text number 29. Buddher Vedam Duteshchaiva Gunatas Trivadangshanu Prochamanamashishena Pritakve Nandananjaya. O winner of wealth, now please listen as I tell you in detail of the different kinds of understanding and determination according to three modes of material nature. Purport. Now, after explaining knowledge, the object of knowledge, and the knower in three different divisions according to the modes of material nature, the Lord is explaining the intelligence and determination of the worker in the same way. Om Jnana Tamarandasya Jnananjana Shalakya Chakshu Unmadatam Mena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisance unto him and all members of Sri Parampara. So, when we do something, whatever we do, material or spiritual, our understanding and our determination are two key factors. You do something according to your understanding of who you are, of what your best interest is, of what's possible to do, and whether you'll be successful. And so, and like everything else, understanding, buddhi, and determination is also under the influence of the three modes of nature. So now we'll see what those characteristics are of the different modes of understanding and determination in those modes and what the results of that are. Generally speaking, you'll see that Krishna is definitely encouraging us to cultivate the mode of goodness in every regard, whether it's charity, activity, intelligence, determination. We'll see that the mode of goodness produces the best result. Okay. Pravittin chana vrittin cha. Karya karye bayabhaye. Bandham moksham cha yaveti. Buddhi sa parta sattviki. O Sanaprita, that understanding by which one knows what ought to be done and what ought not to be done, what is to be feared and what is not to be feared, what is binding and what is liberating, is in the mode of goodness. Purport. Performing actions in terms of the directions of the scriptures is called pravritti, or executing actions that deserve to be performed. And actions which are not so directed are not to be performed. One who does not know the scriptural directions becomes entangled in actions and reactions of work. Understanding which discriminates by intelligence is situated in the mode of goodness. So we may recall that in chapter 16, one of the characteristics of the asuras or demons was precisely that they didn't know the difference between pravrittim and nivrittim. Pravrittim cha nivrittim cha jana na vidur asura. The asuras don't know what is good and what is bad, what is binding, what's not binding, and so they perform activities that shouldn't be performed. They definitely neglect to perform activities that should be performed. And in this way, they become bound up by a network of desires and by sinful reactions. So knowing first what the truth is, what the proper activity is for the ultimate goal, is all important. And you may remember at the beginning of this whole discussion between Arjuna and Krishna, at first they were going back and forth as equals. Arjuna didn't want to fight. Right? And he based his argument on some Vedic injunctions. If all the men are killed and the women will be unprotected, there'll be Varnasankara, the society will go down. You know, so he had his argument. But then when Krishna encouraged him on the basis of Kshatriya Dharma, get up, how has this impotence come upon you? You know, gain the kingdom. He was more or less encouraging him as one Kshatriya to another. But nothing was happening. Arjuna would say, no, I can't fight, I can't kill Bhishma and Drona, how can I live if I kill my dear guru and the grandfather of the clan, what to speak of all my friends and relatives? You know, all the kingdom will be soaked with their blood of my dear friends. So he said, better to go by begging, I'll just live by begging. You know, this is what he was saying. And then finally he came to the point It says, Karpanya dosho bahata sabhava prachami dvam dharma sambuddha cheta yakshe yaksa nishtitam bruhitam meshishastehyam shadimam dvam papannam. That now I realize that I'm overcome by this wretched weakness, karpanya dosho bahata sabhava. My very nature has been infected by this inability to do the right thing. And so he prays to Krishna, you please tell me for sure what is best for me. What my real dharma is. I'm dharma samudha cheta. I'm completely bewildered about what dharma is. So dharma means a course of action you're going to take for your ultimate good. Shreya. Yak shreya ksan nishtitam bruhitanme. I'm your shishya. I'm your disciple. Now you instruct me about pravrtim and chivnivrtim. What to do and what to refrain from doing. In Krishna consciousness movement, we have a whole list. You know, as soon as you get up, there's a proper way to get up and to, you know, take bath and kind of come down to the temple and sit this way and act this way, what to chant, what to hear, what not to chant. You know, this is necessary, these do's and don'ts. Gradually they become second nature. But at first you're completely in ignorance. So accepting that training means immediately to come to the point of goodness, where your understanding and your determination then will be in the right direction. What is to be feared? What isn't to be feared? Just look around us. People have no fear. They don't understand. They go down, you know, McDonald's all over the world. They don't know that they're incurring, you know, grievous sinful reactions, karma. And they'll have to suffer grievously, individually and collectively for that. Nobody knows. They just go, whatever, it tastes good, let's go have it. You know? So this ignorance is very dangerous. We suffer because of ignorance. We don't know what's to be done, what's not to be done, what's to be feared, what's not to be feared. And therefore, we're helpless in the modes of nature. So Srila Prabhupada came to give this knowledge, our beloved Guru Dev, and to establish a society of people who are living by this knowledge. Without the society, without the examples, it doesn't mean anything. There'd be no temple here. It would just be like so many other beach cities, everybody just going to the beach, doing their thing, you know. But there's a temple here because Prabhupada took the effort and he trained disciples who then, you know, were pioneers, and we're trying to carry that on. So any discussion on this particular verse? In the mode of goodness, all these things. Yes?
So as far as, you know, food in the mode of goodness.
Food?
Yeah. Uh-huh. When you eat food that's in the mode of goodness, you get good karma out of doing that, right? But at the same time, if you haven't offered it to Krishna, then
there's sin involved. Sinful, yeah.
So you both get good karma and bad karma.
Yeah, there can be a mixture, just like there's a mixture of the modes. Mm-hmm. In terms of, you know, it can be healthful on a material level, but it's sinful on a more subtle level, and so you have to suffer for that, you know, because it's a selfish act. As Krishna says right here in the third chapter. Right? Yagyashtashi naksanto muchinte savakilbushai bunjate te dvagam papa yepachanjatma karanat. If you're only cooking for yourself, you're eating only sin. But there are degrees of sin. You know, if you're cooking and eating cows, that's a grievous sin. If you're cooking and eating cabbage and carrots, that's less so. But it's still going to keep you coming back into this world. And you never know, if you don't have any assets in spiritual life, in yoga, then next birth you may be cooking something else. You know, the modes are going up and down. If you're not progressing, then you're at the mercy of the material energy. So it's not a secure platform. Prabhupada speaks about that in the Isha Upanishad. He says, one shouldn't be so proud just to be a vegetarian. Vegetables also have life, you know, and there's some sin there. Not as much, obviously, as killing animals, or cows, certainly. But even the animals, you know, monkeys and many birds are vegetarians. Big deal, you know. But what's important is the consciousness. You know, vegetarian food, food that's offered to Krishna that he recommends, then it's purifying. Then it brings us closer to Krishna.
So,
go ahead, it's okay.
If we offer, you know, because I know, you know, in Calcutta they do Kali Puja and they offer goat to Kali. Was that in any way justified?
It's not going to help you.
No.
It's not going to help you go back to Godhead. That's, you know, you can worship the gods also in the mode of ignorance, you know, and you may propitiate them, you may get some benefit from that. Certainly better than killing a cow, but it's not going to solve your problems of life. You know. So, and Krishna says right here, kamaistaisa vritta jnana papadyantayanya devata. It's, you know, he says, those whose knowledge is stolen away by material desire worship other gods for material benefit, controlled by their own natures, modes of nature. And it's very instructive. Then he says, yo yamyam tono bhakta shradayachita michati tasita sachalam shradham tamai vavadadhamyaham. That if you, whoever you want to worship, for whatever reason, whoever wants to worship anyone, if you really want to worship, then Krishna will make your faith strong. You know, and you worship, and you may get some result. As a sataya shuddhiya yuktas, endowed with such faith in whatever deity you may worship, tasya aradhana mihyate, you perform worship, aradhana. Labhate tatata kaman, you may attain, get some desired things. Kaman maya vavahitanitan, but they're given by me ultimately. Where do the gods get their powers from? They get their powers from Krishna. So then the last verse in the series here, he says, antavattu palam tesham. Whatever you get in this way is temporary. Tadbhavati alpamedasham. So only the alpamedasham will do it. Only those who are not too smart, too intelligent, who don't have proper understanding, which is what was being. And then the key phrase, devan devi ajo yanti, manbhakta yanti mamapi. You worship the gods, you go to the gods. But you still perish. They're also temporary. They're abodes. So, but those who worship me come to me. And if you go to Krishna, you don't come back. You see? So this comes up in the ninth chapter as well. So that's a key thing. Don't worship anyone else but Krishna. Completely forbidden by all our acharyas. Only worship Krishna. You know? Whatever you want. Even if you want something material, go to Krishna. You'll get it as you should get it. And, you know, ultimately you'll find you don't want it anymore. You just want Krishna. There's a verse like that. It says, Satyam dashatyartita martito dinam, naivartito yat punanartito yataha. Swayam vadatte bhajatam anichitam, itchabhidhanam, itcharabhadam tavapada pallavam. So, Krishna will certainly give you what you want if you go to pray to him. But he's not going to keep giving and giving and giving things that are just going to ask you to keep being materially entangled. Rather, if you really go to Krishna himself, for your material desires, he will give you himself. Swayam vadatte, bhajatam, to those who worship, anichitam, even though you didn't come with that desire. You see? And that desire for Krishna will cover all other desires. Itchabhidhanam, nijapada pallavam, with his own lotus feet. So that's the advantage of approaching Krishna. But if people, you know, they calculate, oh, if I approach Krishna, he'll take everything away. He's Hari. Let me approach Kali, and Durga, Shiva, Ganesh, and Surya. You know? But then you're not going to get the ultimate goal of life. You may get what you want, but you're alpamedasham. Not too smart. I didn't say it. Krishna said it. Okay, let's go on. Yaya dharmam adharmam cha. Karyam cha karyam eva cha. Ayatat ayatavat prajanati. And buddhisa parta rajasi. O son of Pita, that understanding which cannot distinguish between religion and irreligion, between action that should be done and action that should not be done, is in the mode of passion. So we're not going to say anything much on this because there's no purport. But the idea is that you're not quite sure. You're not sure what dharma is. Sometimes you get it right, sometimes you get it wrong. Now, mode of ignorance, always wrong. Adharmam dharma mitiya.
Adharmam dharma
mitiya. Manyate tamasavrata.
Sarvatan
vipaditangscha.
Buddhisa parta tamasi.
That understanding which considers irreligion to be religion and religion to be irreligion under the spell of illusion and darkness and strives always in the wrong direction, O Partha, is in the mode of ignorance. Purport. Intelligence in the mode of ignorance is always working the opposite of the way it should. It accepts religions which are not actually religions and rejects actual religion. Men in ignorance understand a great soul to be a common man, and accept the common man as a great soul. They think truth to be untruth, and accept untruth as truth. In all activities, they simply take the wrong path. Therefore, their intelligence is in the mode of ignorance. And I have to confess, as I'm reading this, I'm thinking of communist Russia, the Soviet Union. Think about it. They actually made a religion out of that communism. You know, they worship Lenin. They worship even Stalin for a while. These are big demons. They worship them. It's exactly described. They think irreligion is religion. They think that their communist ideology, at least this was when it was at its height, now nobody believes it anymore, is actually the best way to go. And they would suppress actual religion. You know, it was a crime. When Prabhupada went there for about a week, and he was afraid they might arrest him. He went through the customs, and they opened the bag, and they saw the Bhagavad Gita. And he had heard stories, you know, people get thrown in a gulag for being religious. He said, oh, no, you know, he was thinking, now maybe they're going to arrest me for the Bhagavad Gita. And so one other guy came to look at what it was, you know, and Prabhupada was explaining, and somehow or other, they said, okay, it's okay, you know. He explained he was invited by this professor to, you know, to give a discourse. He said, okay, you know. But other people who practice religion, you know, they're thrown in jail. It was illegal at that time. So it's exactly that. They consider irreligion, their communist ideology, to be what is worshipable. And some guy preserved in a mausoleum somewhere to be worshipable. People line up to see a dead body that's preserved in some, you know. It's ghastly. Yeah, let me finish for a minute, and then you can. So, and then under the spell of illusion and darkness, they strive always in the wrong direction. Exactly. You know, total materialism, and collective. You know what they did. You know, and Stalin. So many people died. It was just disastrous. And accepts religion. Men in ignorance understand a great soul to be a common man. You know, they certainly took Prabhupada to be a common man. And a common man, Lenin, Stalin, Khrushchev, a great soul, you know. Truth to be untruth, and accept untruth as truth. It's exactly like that. And the result was complete collapse. People suffering like anything, you know. They almost lost the war. I mean, that would have been, you know, in World War II. We won't get into that. But this is the motive, and it's all over the place. You know, like I like to refer, and now, because of the internet, you can find, you know, if you're together a little bit, you can create your own religion, and there's somebody out there who's going to believe it, you know, and you'll have a following if you have some kind of charisma or some kind of, you know. Religions are being created every day. What is a religion? A set of beliefs people have faith in, you know, and so all of that is without reference to the Shastra, without reference to the Acharyas and the saints. It's just a disturbance in society. And so there's a great battle. There's a great battle for our hearts and minds. Are they going to be affected and stolen away by all of these illusory paths? And you go without the illusory path and you fall in the ditch, you know, and you suffer. Or are we going to follow the actual paths chalked out by Krishna and the great Acharyas, which will lead us out of suffering forever, eternally? Not some temporary material benefit for temporary. That's the question. Comment? You forgot.
There was just another one I remember. This story about when you mentioned Russia, I remember this. There was this ISKCON devotee in Russia who was arrested and put in jail.
Yeah, there were many.
Preaching to Krishna. And what happened was he went to jail and he was preaching Krishna consciousness in jail. And they really didn't have any other place to put him in because he was still doing what he was doing in jail, so they eventually had to let him go.
There's some wonderful stories about, you know, Bhadri Narayan likes to tell about one of the main leaders now. His name is Bhakti Vigyan Swami, who was a student, a PhD candidate, I think, in maybe Moscow, and got involved in Krishna consciousness, and his parents or his father was a big professor. And they arrested him, and they you know, tried to make him recant, and they threatened that his father would lose his job, that he wouldn't get his, you know, PhD, and he wouldn't. And what they wanted him to do was to spy on the Hare Krishnas, because he was involved, and he would tell them what's going on, you know, and he refused. And so after a certain period of time of browbeating him, you know, the big KGB guys, they appealed to him. If you don't do this, we're going to get fired. You know? It was just like Haridas Thakur. So they said, at least give us some false information about it. Give some reports. So he agreed to do that. He was making up stories about what was going on. But he, very great determination. You know, he's a slight, he's not a tough guy, but a powerful determination. You know, and we see, and there are some devotees who died in jail, in the Gulag, in Russia, or the psychiatric hospitals. This is what they would do. Nightmare. But their determination, you know, that serves as an inspiration for devotees all over the world, and especially in Russia. And the movement is very popular there among certain, you know, young people there. Okay, that was in the mode of ignorance. Now we go to dritya, determination. Dritya yaya dharyate.
Dritya yaya dharyate.
Manak pranendriya kriya.
Manak pranendriya kriya.
Yoge na vyabhicharinya.
Yoge na vyabhicharinya.
Dhriti sa partha sattviki. O Sanapita, that determination, which is unbreakable, which is sustained with steadfastness by yoga practice, and which thus controls the activities of the mind, life, and senses, is determination in the mode of goodness. Yoga is a means to understand the Supreme Soul. One who is steadily fixed in the Supreme Soul with determination, concentrating one's mind, life, and sensory activities on the Supreme, engages in Krishna consciousness. That sort of determination is in the mode of goodness. The word avyabhicharinya is very significant, for it indicates that persons who are engaged in Krishna consciousness are never deviated by any other activity. So this word, some of you may recognize, is there at the end of the 14th chapter, how to transcend the modes of nature. You know, Krishna answers, mam chayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sogunasa matitana brahmabhuya kalpate. That's avyabhichari, means undeviating. It means without failing. Now that's a big, you know, qualification to try to achieve, because the nature of the mind, of the material mind, is very flickering. It's always looking for something for enjoyment. But real bhakti yoga means to forego one's own enjoyment and simply be fixed on giving pleasure to Krishna. You know, that's the idea. So it's very easy to fall back into the old habits of the mind. The association, if you're not careful, will also encourage that kind of mentality, and you'll deviate from that yoga. So the chapter 6 is a lot about that, you know, lamp in a windless place, from wherever and whatever the mind wanders, bring it back under the control of the self, that's the Supreme Self, Krishna. And that's really the struggle for any kind of yogi, bhakti yogi, jnana yogi, ashtanga yogi, is to have that one-pointed determination and that one-pointed focus, you know, to achieve that. So that's the mode of goodness. When the determination is there and the focus is there, then you can really accomplish something. You can make quick advancement. Otherwise, you become yoga brashta. Yoga brashta means a broken yogi. You've deviated. You've fallen away from the path. So many are called, you know, few are chosen. I know there's many. It's said that. What is that? Muktanam abhisiddh. Or Krishna says, Manushyanam sahasreshu kashchajyabdi siddhaye yadatam abhisiddhanam kashchanabhati tatvala. That out of many thousands of human beings, hardly any are even interested in trying for perfection. And of those who try and achieve perfection, some kind of perfection, you know, maybe yogic siddhis or liberation, only a few are actual bhaktas. They really know Krishna in truth. So it takes determination, maybe over some lifetimes, to really perfect this yoga. But that's what it takes, and that's in the mode of goodness. So we should try to cultivate that. Any discussion on this? Determination in the mode of goodness. Okay. Yayatu dharma kamartan.
Yayatu dharma kamartan.
Dritya dharyate
arjuna. Dritya dharyate
arjuna. Pasangena palakangshi. Dhriti sāparta rājasi. But that determination by which one holds fast to fruitive results in religion, economic development, and sense gratification is of the nature of passion, O Arjuna. Any person who is always desirous of fruitive results in religious or economic activities, whose only desire is sense gratification, and whose mind, life, and senses are thus engaged, is in the mode of passion. So, This other, the mode of goodness means sustained by yoga practice. This is sustained by desire, you know, passion for the fruits of the activities. That's the chief characteristic of one in the mode of passion, this overwhelming desire to enjoy the senses, to enjoy the mind, you know, and the subtle enjoyment of being worshipped, the proper adoration. So that you can be very determined for that, very determined. You know, I always think of like these Olympic stars. Every 4 years you see them, you know, they've been training, you know. They've been weeded out from people who weren't quite so determined. You know, like the gymnastics, you see, you know, these poor little girls, they train them. And what's the result? You know, what's the desire? Well, okay, fame, you know, and maybe fortune. You know, that's the whole... But you can be so determined for that. And sometimes we see that the so-called karmis, those who are motivated in this way, are much more determined than the devotees. You know, devotees may be a little bit spaced out, they may slack off because they're slipping back into the food of mentality. And, you know, what can I enjoy now? Well, at least I can sleep. Right? Let me take a nap. Well, it's 2 hours later, you know. Because you're not, fixed on the goal, which is not the ordinary goal. It's you know, you're habituated, you're conditioned to think fruitively. And therefore, the determination then may not be so strong. And that's why Krishna, you know, Rupa Goswami says, Utsahan. To be successful in devotion, you have to be enthusiastic, you have to be determined, and you have to be patient, because it is a long process of purification, maybe, but you have to remain enthusiastic and determined through that, in the process of doing the regulated activities of devotional service. And to keep that determination and enthusiasm, you have to avoid bad association, you know, and follow in the footsteps of the great acharyas. Though that's the formula. There's six things there, and they ensure the success in devotional service. But it's not easy, because as soon as you're not vigilant, you'll slip back into the food of mentality. The mind is calculating, what's in it for me? Am I bored? This is something, but it's not interesting. You know, all this God talk. Let's hear about, you know, football scores, whatever. It's easy to fall back into that. So we're going to read one more, and then we're going to read about the pastimes of Krishna from the 10th canto. This is a determination in the mode of ignorance. Yaya swapnam bhayam shokam.
Yaya swapnam bhayam shokam.
Vishadam madame vacha.
Vishadam madame vacha.
Navamunchati durmedha. Dutti saparta tamasi. And that determination which cannot go beyond dreaming, fearfulness, lamentation, moroseness, and illusion. Such unintelligent determination, O Sanapita, is in the mode of darkness. It should not be concluded that a person in the mode of goodness does not dream. Here, dream means too much sleep. Dreaming is always present, either in the mode of goodness, passion, or ignorance. Dreaming is a natural occurrence, but those who cannot avoid oversleeping, who cannot avoid the pride of enjoying material objects, who are always dreaming of lording it over the material world, and whose life, mind, and senses are thus engaged, are considered to have determination in the mode of ignorance. Now, here's an example that may be a little ghastly about determination in the mode of ignorance. But, you know, we live in a drug culture, and I'm not just talking about illegal drugs. There's so many people, they're medicating this, medicating that, even the children lining up in camp to take their meds, you know, it's ghastly. So one thing that happens is that because of all the stress of modern life, many people, young, old, and everybody, has this depression and anxiety. So they have these drugs, Zoloft and Prozac, very famous. You know, there's a certain type of drug that they take. But one of the side effects of these drugs can be suicidal thoughts. It just comes about, even though, you know, you're depressed and you may be, I don't know how it works, that you're getting a little bit up, but suddenly you feel like killing yourself. And that determination, you know, you go up to the top of the roof or you do something. To kill oneself is definitely what's being described here. This shokam vishadam, you know, moroseness. That's depression, you know. So that, you know, and people get into a syndrome where they're determined to stay that way. You know, don't try to cheer me up. You know, I know the reality of the way things are. You know, it's a bleak life, and my life is bleak. It doesn't mean anything. You know, and that's the way I like it. You know? And then you get and you read philosophy to support that. I used to be the underground man. Did you ever hear of Dostoevsky's Underground Man?
Oh, yeah.
That was me, you know. This world doesn't mean anything. It's existentialism, you know. Who cares? What, you know? That's this mode of ignorance. You know, there's no light anywhere. And don't try to lighten me up. You know? So let's make a determination in the mode of goodness and pure goodness. We determined to become Krishna conscious in this lifetime and go back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada wanted that. He didn't want us to hang around in the material world, you know, because you suffer. You have to come back again. And so, it may be difficult, but the difficulty is well worth it. This is really what's worth striving for. Nothing else. And I'll end with this one verse. It says, now what is it? It's not coming to me. Labdva sudurlam vidam bahusambhavante manushyam artadam anityam abhihadiram. Wonderful verse, probably quoted all the time. I think Krishna speaks in the 11th canon. He says, having attained this human form of life after many, many births, lambhasu durlabham, it's not easy to get human life, very rare amongst all living beings. Sudurlabham idam bahu sambhavante manushyam, this human life, if it says artadam, only in this form, can you achieve the real swartha, the real goal of the soul? You know, not some external thing. Artadam apiyam anitya dhira. But it's temporary, like all other forms. So one has to be very dhira, means sober-minded. And then do what? Turnam yateta. Quickly determined to struggle. This word yateta is very important. Sometimes the sannyasis are called yatis, because they strive. They're always striving for perfection, you know, austerity, renunciation. So, yati. So it's a verb. We should all strive. Yateta, napateta, namitta, yavat. As long as we have our senses, we're not falling down and we're overcome with death, you know, until we, you know, as long as we have our wits about us. Strive for what? Nikshesa, the ultimate good. Because after all, in all these other forms that we pass through, vishayakala sarvataksa, we have experienced all kinds of sense gratification. So don't waste this human form of life chewing the chewed punak punaschavita charananam. We've already been there, done that. Now we have a chance to achieve perfection of love of God and liberation eternally from this world. Hare Krishna. So on that note, we have a few minutes and we're going to read from...